Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The title of our lesson today is Christ is the Word. And this lesson is intended to help us to see the deity of Christ more clearly and fully. We observe some ramifications of his deity also. We'll focus on John chapter 20 that says, "And many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Now in the first chapter of John we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men." Now you'll notice that the Word was a person. Three times John says, "by him, without him, in him." So the Word refers to a person. Now consider this word, W-O-R-D. Now, the ordinary meaning of the word word, according to the dictionary, is that it is a medium of conveying thought. It's making the unseen thought objective, a sign of an idea, a method of revelation, and a means of communication. Now, John uses the term W-O-R-D, word, more than 30 times, and six of those times in a very personal reference. It is used as a name of the one sent from God, and with the name of one that was God and is God. Friend, this is the title of the Messiah before and as well as after his incarnation, his becoming flesh. Now, the word is translated from the Greek word logos, L-O-G-O-S. Logos means more than the ordinary understanding of W-O-R-D. It is not synonymous with the term in the grammatical sense, or as a spoken word or a written word. Rather, it depicts deity. The Logos was with God. The Logos was God. It expresses an eternal and timeless existence with an intimate and everlasting presence with deity. Hence, deity himself. The Logos is not only speech to convey a thought, but is the thought itself. Now that's the expanded meaning of the word Logos. It is the message communicated, but it's also the messenger that communicates the message. Logos expresses the nature, the substance, the mode of God's revelation to man. Christ is Logos. Christ is the Word. Now this would be expected inasmuch as in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2 and verse 9. To put it another way, Christ is the vessel to convey God's idea, and he is the idea that God conveyed. Christ provided the mechanism for man to know God, and he is the efficient instrument of divine action. Word, W-O-R-D, as used in John 1, is used in this way when speaking of the message of God, and the message is Jesus Christ. To have seen Christ, therefore, is to have seen deity, for he is the Word. Now the word Logos, it's not an inanimate tool like the term Word usually used, but it speaks of the nature, it speaks of the mission of a person. Personal pronouns are used to speak of the Logos. He is the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. John says in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." He identifies the Word, "the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word had a pre-incarnate existence before becoming flesh. The uncreated Logos was on an equality with God, Philippians 2 and verse 6. Actually, Logos is God, and not merely an instrument of God. He is indeed a distinct and separate personality from the other two persons of the Godhead, the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, admittedly, friend, this presentation of deity may be difficult to grasp, but it is something that we need to understand because it helps us to understand the pre-incarnate state of Jesus Christ and to understand that He is God's messenger and that He is God's message. Now, you'll notice in John chapter 1, all things were made by Him. That means that He was the Creator. This truth is explicitly stated in Hebrews chapter 1, that He is the one who created all things. He is the very beginning of creation. He was existent before the world began. He was existent when time was not yet. And He was involved as the very creator of what was brought into existence. In John chapter 1 and verse 10, it says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And then it says pathetically, and the world knew Him not. Now let's look a little bit further at this word Logos. In John chapter 1, we learn that without Logos, there was no light, because the Logos is the light and is the truth. Without that truth, there is no salvation. His teaching is the light to the mind of man, just as natural light is to the eye. Light, of course, is in conflict with darkness. Darkness is used to describe sin. Logos enlightens by giving the light of truth, and it is the truth by which men are made free. Jesus said in John 8 and 32, Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, and John speaks so much about the Christ, it says, In Him was life. He is called the Word of Life in 1 John 1 and verse 1. Friend, note the testimony of John the Baptist, who said that he bore witness of the light. He was not the light, but he bore witness of the light. And he said, Grace and truth came by Him. Now, this does not say that there was no grace before Christ. There was truth before Christ, and there was grace before Christ. It is not that there was no truth until the Logos came, just as there was no grace before the Logos came. But verses 15 through 17 tells us the contrast between Christ and the law of Moses, which preceded Him. The Logos, the W-O-R-D, the Word, revealed the thoughts of God in saving man and salvation. He was the one by whom God's message is communicated, and He is the message that God communicated to man. Logos is the light. Logos is the life. Logos is the love of God for sinful man. He is the blessing of God, and all blessings are by and through Him. And we learn that the Logos was made flesh. Oh, what a marvel of the wisdom of God! Jesus Christ voluntarily took upon Himself the form of a servant. Now here is one who is a member of the Godhead, who is deity, and yet He takes on the form of a servant, Philippians 2:7. He gave Himself as ransom for all, 1 Timothy 2:6. The scripture says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This is the commandment I have received of my Father." John 10:17-18. Now it is true that Jesus was born of woman, of Mary. Galatians 4:4. And by being born of woman and becoming as flesh, he was made a little lower than the angels. Hebrews 2:9. This only emphasizes his pre-incarnate, pre-fleshly state, and that he did become flesh. He was sent by the Father. He was born of a virgin. He is the only begotten Son of God. The Word, then, is the atonement, is the propitiation for mankind. He tasted of death for every man. Hebrews 2:9. And he came to defeat the works of Satan, and to make possible for man spiritual deliverance from his sins. He came to give man the opportunity of life. He came, of course, to keep the prophecies and the promises of God, and he came to provide the merit for man's pardon, a merit that man could not ever have provided for himself. Logos in the flesh is the very personification of God's message to man. He became the highest thought of God, a fleshly and personal form. In becoming flesh, he did not lose his deity. He was deity in the flesh. He was Emmanuel, God with us, wholly human and wholly divine. And by his incarnation, his deity was with a different manner, but not different in essence. Becoming flesh, he did not cease to be what he was before. He simply took on the fashion as a man. He was God among us. Yes, friend, the Bible teaches that Christ is the W-O-R-D, Logos. It means Christ is not just a God. Christ is the God. Thy throne, O God, is spoken of him in Hebrews 2:8. He came first unto his own, which was Israel, then to all of mankind. Israel rejected him, of course, for the most part. To those who believe, he gave power to become the sons of God, John 1:12. Now, it doesn't say that those who believe become the sons of God and stop there. Those who believe had power to become the sons of God. There were other things that they had to obey. But salvation is by faith, friend, in the Logos, in the Word. To be saved, one must not only believe but obey the commands of the one that is called the Word, the Logos. And that is because Logos is deity. And that referred to the one that took on the form of human flesh. He was deity with the Father in heaven. He left heaven and came to this earth to do his service for and for the benefit of the ransom of mankind. And if we will turn to the Logos and obey the Logos, we shall be able to live with the Logos forever and forever. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.